Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Daily Friend Wrap. I'm your host, Nicholas Larimer, today joined by Mr. Terence Corrigan. Let's get into the news of today. And the first thing we're going to talk about is the recent chunk of by-elections that were held all over the country. There were quite a few by-elections. We're not going to talk about all of them. Most of them were in fairly safe seats and were held because the councillors who formerly occupied those seats were elected to Parliament. But we're going to focus in on a couple of them. And the first story, and possibly the most interesting one, is in Rustenburg, in Ward 45, where the MK party has managed to win its second councillor in the country. And to me, this is quite amazing news. They have won one other by-election in KZN, and I would expect their second councillor to have come from KZN. But no, in this case, it is from North West Province. MK defeated both the ANC and EFF in a relatively low turnout, a by-election of about sort of 39% of the voters. MK won 43% of the vote in this ward. The EFF won 24% and the ANC 33%. So MK seems to have basically taken about roughly similar amounts from the ANC and the EFF, what they got in this ward, just a few months ago when we held the election there. So that's an interesting story. The only reason that by-election is being held, by the way, is because the previous councillor was murdered. It's not clear if there were any political motivations for that murder, but still a bit disturbing. Another interesting by-election yesterday was in Eteguini in Durban, where the DA appears to have had a troubled councillor who then, I'm not sure, I think they either got fired or they resigned. Unfortunately for the party, that had definitely done damage to it. An independent managed to knock the DA out, dropping them from 39% of the vote all the way down to 15, with the independent winning 43% of the vote, beating out MK, the ANC, and the DA for that ward. So a bit of a blow for the DA there for sure. But at the same time, the DA has managed to win a victory in the Cederberg Ward 2 municipality. And this is in Cederberg Mountains. Previously, this ward had been governed by the, or had been won by the ANC with about 44% of the vote. And the anti-ANC vote was split between the Patriotic Alliance and the DA, as well as some other parties like Cederberg Erste, which is a local party. The DA seems to have consolidated support, however, behind itself. The PA dropped significantly. The PA had a relatively good election in this area. The ANC dropped slightly in there, and the DA was able to take the ward off of them, winning the ward with 41% to the ANC's 39%. So, interesting things all around. But, Terence, let's start with the Rustenburg one. And I guess the question here is, why did MK win a ward in the Northwest? I mean, obviously there's local dynamics at play, which we're not going to have the full scope of what's going on there, but it does seem to me like the EFF seems to be ceding its position as the kind of left, anti-ANC left in places around the country. What do you make of this?
Yeah. Look, that is the site of Marikana. The EFF was very strong there. The phrase South Africa's insurgent citizens has been applied to that sort of area. This is there's a great deal of deprivation. There's a very recent and very strong association with state violence, and yes, I think that it's in an area like that the call it the anti-system politics gains a lot of traction. I think it is quite notable that the Marikana killings, the extent that they can be linked to this, although through a process of association, they're associating with a party that is led by the president who was in office at the time that those shootings happened. So there's a rich seam of irony. But yes, I think that what the EFF occupies, left wing perhaps, but I think more it puts forward an aesthetic of revolution and disruption, and I think that is the message that is landing with those who are sympathetic to it.
So, what do you make of this election in Eteguini, where the DA lost to an independent? I mean, from what I've heard, DA candidate there was the previous DA councillor was not popular, which perhaps explains the defeat. But this to me suggests that there's very much that the DA in a way that the ANC has, you know, in rural Limpopo, the ANC seems to be able to kind of do whatever, and it still, you know, wins in those small wards. But the DA seems to be a little bit more of a precarious position where it needs to sort of keep shoring up its baseline if it doesn't want to see itself chucked out by challengers. What do you make of that theory? Do you think there's anything to that?
Well, look, I think that one DA leader in Gauteng some years ago said at a public engagement that the DA does not yet have broomstick support in the sense that you could, you know, run entirely on your brand for a broomstick or a generic candidate. I think that, you know, in certain demographics, middle class suburban areas, yes, the DA is generally favored, but it doesn't have that instinctive rapport, and has to, I think, keep on renewing itself. So yes, I would agree, and it is, I think, you know, because it appeals predominantly to a middle class constituency, it is probably more vulnerable to, you know, let me cheekily say, first world considerations. You know, is the candidate personable enough? Is the DA acting, you know, just as you want the party to act on, you know, questions of race or transgenderism or whatever? I don't think at present the ANC faces those sort of pressures.
All right, so let's quickly move on to our next story, and this is about the Western Cape Education Department, which says that it is having to fire 2,400 teachers because the national government has not given them enough money to pay them. Spokespeople for the Education MEC of the Western Cape Education Government says that they have received only 64% of the cost of the wage agreement, which had been agreed with teachers, with the remaining 36% having to be funded by the province, and that this has created a 3.8 billion rand shortfall in the government's budget. Education MEC David Mania said they were doing everything possible to fight for their teachers, but added that they were being shortchanged by national government. He said that the province really did not want to fire teachers, that this was definitely going to affect the quality of education in the province, but said that they basically had no choice because of the financials. What do you make of this story, Terence?
Well, I think this is South Africa's fiscal crisis, not fully understood by most ordinary people. I think it's also a distinctly provincial issue, a provincial crisis, because those line functions, health and education, are kind of, let's say, managed operationally by the provinces. But provinces have very, very little revenue raising power. So, you know, if they're told, well, you've got to find the money, the ability to do that is limited. And I imagine that the rest of the country is going to run into this problem very rapidly.
I think that's definitely a major concern. Let's go on to our last story very quickly, and this is about the DA in Tshwane, which is not having a great time. In fact, the mayor of Tshwane, the DA mayor of Tshwane, who is kept in power by a coalition which includes Action SA, tweeted, about an hour and a half before we were recording this, "I've just learned that Action SA's Tshwane caucus leader has told the media outside Tshwane House that the party is leaving the Tshwane multi-party coalition. I haven't received any notice to this effect, but in light of what has happened up to this point, I can only assume that this is the party's position, a coalition that is making progress brought down for no clear reason, a betrayal of coalition partners, and the people of Tshwane sabotaging the builders to let in the breakers." This also is along with the DA challenging the motion of no confidence that is soon set to be held against Mayor Celia's Brink in court, saying that it was procedurally irregular. Now, whether that is true or not, whether they have legal grounds here, this does suggest to me that they are very concerned that they are about to be thrown out of power in Tshwane. Terence, what do you make of this? You know, Action SA and the DA have had a very bad relationship, I think, their kind of entire existence. After all, Action SA was essentially a breakaway from the DA in many ways. But I'm not sure necessarily how this seems to be in either party's favor. What do you make of this?
Yeah, I'm not sure what to make of this. My initial comment is that the recourse to courts suggests a situation in which in which political mechanisms are not functioning properly. Courts should always be a kind of last resort. You know, that being said, those mechanisms are available, and we shall see whether it has any legal traction. But yes, my intuition is that there was enormous bad blood between the DA and Action SA. In many ways, they are direct competitors to each other in a way that, oddly enough, neither Action SA nor the DA are with the ANC. They appeal to very different constituencies. That's also why I think that you probably won't see the sort of animosity towards the DA on the part of the ANC and say Limpopo or the Eastern Cape, because they're not rubbing up against each other. I think that Action SA has always been very suspicious of the DA's intent, you know, DA's amenability to working with the ANC. That came out a few times during the election campaign. And when they ultimately entered the GNU, I think essentially for Action SA, the safety came off, and they've decided, and this could point to the fact to the intention to punish the DA. But yes, I'm not sure exactly what either party gains from it. In fact, you know, from everything I can see within let's say that broad DA Action SA constituency, Celia's Brink seems to be a fairly acceptable candidate. I mean, Herman Mashaba just a few weeks ago was saying, yeah, he's doing an okay job there. To hand the city back to the ANC, my own sense is that this could actually rebound to Action SA's detriment.
That's my sense as well. I suspect that if they do this, it's going to really hurt the party and the local government elections coming up in 2026. Obviously, you know, it's a bit early to say, but yeah, it really does seem like. And it's not even clear whether Action SA is actually going to take over any executive positions in Pretoria if they do, in fact, throw the DA out. It could be that they simply hold on to legislative positions as they have in Joburg, where they now are backing the ANC coalition there, in which case they will have given up executive power within the city in exchange for legislative power and also probably a lot of anger from their own voters. So it is a bit of a mysterious decision.
Yeah, look, I mean, I could maybe see them going for the speakership of the Tshwane Council, but you know, unless perhaps they've calculated that the state of Joburg is a hopeless case, and they'd rather leave the ANC holding the can. But I think that if they are going to cooperate with the ANC in removing the DA, that is kind of how they're going to be cast. At least it seems to me in the Tshwane area. Maybe their reputation doesn't follow them elsewhere, but look, I think it's very much a high stakes gamble.
Yeah, no, definitely. Anyway, we shall have to see what the final shakeout is. Who knows? Maybe the two parties will reconcile in the next 5 minutes or so, because time, I think, is very short on this one. But anyway, thank you very much for watching. We hope that you found the show interesting. And
The Daily Friend Show and The Daily Friend are a project of the Institute of Race Relations, the IRR. The IRR is a think tank which was founded in 1929 to study race relations in South Africa and works to change government policy to improve race relations through non-racialism and to ensure the prosperity of all South Africans. If you like our work and would like to support us, please go to irr.org.za and click Support the IRR. Or you can go to thedailyfriend.co.za and click the Fund Us button.